or do you want me to both do it?
Town Board Review to order on June 6th at 1:00 PM, Town Hall. Purpose of calling Board Review into session, call the meeting to order. Members of the board are present, media has been notified, please stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number five, we need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
One second. Motion been made, seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried. Due to the fact that the assessment roll is not completed at this time, it is anticipated that the Board of Review will be adjourned until September 19th, 2018 at 9:00 AM. A notice will be published and posted prior to that time to confirm the meeting.
I'll move that we make that postponement.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded to adjourn the Board of Review until September 19th at 9:00 AM. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Need a motion to adjourn the Board of Review at 1:01.
So moved.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried. Okay, we'll call the regular Town Board meeting for the Town of Lackawanna Flamboyant Order on Wednesday, June 6th at 1:01. Members of the board are present, media has been notified. Pledge of Allegiance.
Again, no, do I too?
Okay, we did it.
We did.
We need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried. Approval of vouchers in general fund of 5057 to 5536.
I'll move that we approve those vouchers.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried. Approval of the minutes of the May 16th, 2018 regular Town Board meetings.
Moves, so read.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the minutes of the May 16th, 2018 regular Town Board meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried. Treasurer's report.
I'm just still pretty quiet. We're building business in the transfer station. Other than that, nothing too much. In the regular town account, we have $1,623.77. And in the ambulance account, we have $475,335.65.
I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
I'll second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the treasurer's report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carried. Item number nine, public comment on agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 10. Discussion possible action, open road construction bid. At this time, I'd like to remove myself from the room as my employer is one of the bidders, and I don't want it to be accused of unethical behavior or conflict of interest. I'd like to turn it over at this time to Chris Meyer.
Okay. I guess at this time, we'll go ahead and we'll open the bids.
Okay, we got two sets of bids. We have three roads, and then they're supposed to be bid separately, so I'm sure there's three in here.
Okay.
This first group is from American Asphalt of Wisconsin. This is the sealed bid for North Squaw Lake Road.
I'm sure this fulfills the requirements that were...
You have it on your sheet that we're recording.
Okay. Put them on the line here. Yep. The total on this one, there's two of these, Bob, so you can have them too. The total price for the project on North Squaw Lake Road is 0.39 miles. is $71,371.46.
This is from American Asphalt for Total Town Drive, which is 0.46 miles.
For that project for 0.46 miles on Total Town Drive is $78,958.06.
The last road is for Florsheim, and it's 1.38 miles.
Is that from American Asphalt?
Yes.
This is from American Asphalt also, right.
So for the 1.38 miles is $220,356. 220,356.20.
The other bid that we received was from Pitlick and Witt.
Came to 55,000.
Which road is that?
This is Squale. Same order, Squale.
We're going to do them in the same order so we can. 55,976.00. Okay, let's see. That's going to be Total Town.
Yep.
The total for that from Pitlick and Wick is $62,798. And then for the Florsheim project would be $186,714.25. Over, Bob?
Sure. Could I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Were all the specs the same for the three roads?
Correct. They were mandatory to fulfill the specs. We will go through that a little bit more.
Okay. And then is there any reason why, you know, some people would only bid on one and Pitlick and Wick would bid them all, or?
No, they all, both companies bid on all three roads.
Oh, I misunderstood that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank Sometimes you. It does happen, though.
Okay.
Correct. I believe when we notified this job, we did it as separate jobs, mm-hmm. where before we combined the whole
right,
as one project.
Right, we asked for separate buildings.
So you had to do a common, you know what I mean, either you did the whole job or didn't. If you fell short on one, then we would reject that company because we wanted you to fulfill the whole project. But on this particular bid, is we'll piecemeal it in each individual as a project.
And then do they ever give a discount for doing all three, or it doesn't work that way?
Well, if they did,
you're bidding them individually, and then they may or may not total whatever.
And that I'm not aware of. That would be some as an individual, you know what I mean? I don't know if they would advertise it as that. I've never heard of that before. I mean, if that would have happened, I mean, Mr. Pitlick was here today. I mean, I'm not going to put him on the spot here, but I'm just saying is, as you notice, there is a pretty good differentiation between the bids here, so.
Here's your differences.
Okay. So So the difference on the North Squaw Lake Road is $15,395.46 differentiation. Total time is a difference of $16,160.06. And Florsheim is a difference of $33,642. So it is considerable. Do we need to make a decision today, because how much money do we have in that, in the account for that?
We have $200,000. For sure, it won't be all of them.
I know, we need to figure out which ones are most important. Pete, you?
Pete, do you have any thought on between the three roads, which one?
Yeah, Florsheim Road has the most traffic, for sure.
Because what I'm saying is with our budgetary constraints, you know, we seem to always end up with this also, you know what I mean, where we can't do all of it all at one time. It's sort of an ongoing thing.
Chris, how much money do you have?
$200,000 is put for road construction.
So Florsheim would pretty much consume that, and then that money, then in that, that would be left over, and that remainder would go towards the next year, whatever we allocate. So if we put $200,000 in next year, then it would be the remainder of that upon that.
Do you have a carryover from last year?
I would imagine it probably went in there.
I think last year we used it all. We used it all last year.
Is that in the $200,000 you approved, though?
Yes. I mean, I'm sure when we did the budget, that's probably how we brought it, so that we kept the levy down. You know what I'm saying? That's just sort of one of those decisions, is at budget time, we sort of don't talk about, you know, designating, you know what I mean, the excess road funds. But I do believe we spent almost every dime out of it last year, there wasn't that much left.
It doesn't actually get added to this year's budget, it gets put, if there is anything extra, which I don't believe there was in road construction last year, gets put to the reserve fund.
Reserve fund for the roads?
For anything.
Are these identified by PACER report as two priority?
I would imagine there's a PACER report. I haven't seen a PACER for a while.
Yeah, we do the PACER report, but I'm kind of, they all three need work.
They're probably pretty equal.
Traffic.
It's Florsheim.
It's Florsheim, it's a lot of traffic.
Wasn't Florsheim discussed last year and postponed at that point?
One of the things that held us off on Florsheim is they were doing a pretty extensive logging project on there. So it seemed kind of senseless for us to do anything as far as investing anything into that road while they were going to replace it. So I think that was one of the things that held us off, I think.
Are those, all those other two roads okay for another year? I mean, that's...
No, it's pretty iffy. I mean...
They would be okay.
They're chip sealed.
They're short roads, not a lot of traffic, they're not high speed. Florsheim Road, people drive 40, 50, 55 miles an hour down that road, is where these other two, they're going 20, 25. They can handle, you know, a little more.
They're very scenic.
Just don't want safety issues, because we don't have the money, that doesn't make sense.
And those two are chip sealed, right?
Yep.
They're not like a, Florsheim is a little bit different, that's one that we really want to save, we don't want it to get anywhere.
Total time, Chris, is that the original surface from like 30 years ago?
No, that's been done more since then, hasn't it?
You know, I don't know for sure when it was done, I'd have to look it up.
It very well could be. I mean, when was the last time I went on there? I don't remember, I think there was snow on it, because there was a car accident back there, I don't remember. Anybody else? Bob, do you have anything to add or offer, or?
Not really. I think the, you know, the numbers are what they are.
So I'll leave it up to you to make a motion, if you feel...
Well, let's see, I guess I will move that we accept the Pitlick and Witt bid on Florsheim Road.
And I'll second that motion, so we just signify by saying aye. It's going to be unanimous here, I believe, with a first and a second, but I'll say aye.
Aye.
So we're all in favor of it, so I guess...
What happens to the other two? They go out for bids again next year?
They'll be the top of the list next year.
So they won't be necessarily the same prices, though?
No.
This is a contractual thing. Usually your bids are good, what, for 30 days or?
Usually for the season.
Correct.
You never know with the oil, you know, for example, when the refinery blew up in Superior, that can change things in a hurry.
100%.
So usually it's for the season.
Yep, okay. How far behind are we as a town when these kinds of things happen?
I think our roads are really in pretty good shape around here compared to neighboring communities. I think it's all, I mean, if you use the PACER rating, that you can get kind of bogged down into that a little bit. Some roads have a lot more traffic than other ones. I think our maintenance crew does a really good job of keeping up with things. I would have to say, I mean, there are certain small issues. I mean, you get culverts here and there. We have other things that have to be dealt with. But I don't think we're that far behind at all. I mean, we're one of the few townships that doesn't have any gravel roads. Are there any gravel roads left?
Yeah, there are, but there's
very, very few. Very few.
Yeah, I only ask because Florsheim was postponed for a year. These two are postponed. After a while, those postponements translate into getting further and further and further.
What I would say is, I would think that, and then we leave a lot of it up to Pete, is if we came to the point where we were starting to fall behind too much, I think we would come back to the community and ask for a way to put some mechanism in there to catch up.
I knew exactly what the bidding prices were. We wouldn't have put it on there.
But everything gets more expensive, you know what I mean? And sometimes we're left a little bit back in the past. You know, what used to cost $100,000 10 years ago is a little bit different of what that money goes to today.
Yeah, I understand all that. I'm not arguing that point. It's just...
So what we may have to do is in the future, we may have to increase the budget for the roads. And that's a discussion we can have at around budget time. It's just that we've always constrained ourselves pretty strictly at budget time. And that's why we're at the $200,000 level right now. Okay. Anything else?
I'm with American. Could I take a look at the...
Sure. Okay. Do we want to make him a copy or... And they will be gone through by the... Okay, we can call Mr. Gulke.
I'll get him a little by.
She's going to get you a copy of it.
Clerk is back. We'll move on to item number 11, discussion approval agreement with Black Flamble Tribal Wardens to enforce town ordinances. Elliot! We've got Elliot Rising Sun with us today. I talked to him last week. And for a couple of years now, we've got town ordinances relating to, primarily this time of year, boating. We've got some where it's water ski hours. We've got some where it's slow and awake lakes. We've got some where it's no motor lakes. We have the ordinances on the book, but really nobody except for myself to enforce them. So I talked to Elliot, and I was asked him if the Tribal Natural Resources Department wardens may be interested in enforcing our ordinances for us. And he said he'd be more than welcome to come to the town board and talk to us about it. So.
There you are.
There we are. Like I told you, we've got, you know, these boating ordinances. They need enforcement, and would the Tribal Wardens Natural Resources Department be willing to work with the town in some type of an agreement to enforce those for us?
Yes, just like we discussed, I think it was just maybe a difference in opinion in the administration in the past, just kind of how they looked at that current set of rules, just like what you said, the only person that's, or the part of it that says the only person that's able to enforce it is, you know.
Is me, and to be honest with you, I don't have time to run around on all the lakes all week long and check for enforcement.
Right. And, yeah, and I think it wouldn't be a problem on our side. I think in the past, since I've been in the lead seat, you know, we've been responding to some calls on Totowtom and Mitten Lake. We've heard of some calls out there of non-motorized.
Yeah.
And I think...
And then I guess it's important, too, that people know that the town ordinances pertain to residents and non-residents of the town. They do not pertain to tribal members within the boundaries of the reservation. So, you know, just to make that clear, they'd actually be enforcing our ordinances. You know, they have their own set of rules and ordinances that they go by, which is fine, and I guess you'd be enforcing both of them at the same time while you're out the boundary.
Correct. And then I think at this point you had mentioned, or maybe it was Nancy, someone mentioned that you guys were going to have maybe, depending on how this outcome is, have your lawyer take a look at it and kind of work towards some type of, I don't know if it would necessarily be a mutual aid agreement.
That, yeah, and what I can do is I can contact our town attorney and ask him, you know, how this should be done, a mutual aid agreement, a memorandum of understanding, you know, contract, how it is that we need to do it so that we're in accordance with state statutes, but then, you know, be able to have you guys enforce them.
Right.
And yeah. I don't think the town, we're not looking for the forfeiture. You know, I mean, I don't think we're in the business of, you know what I mean, enforcing ordinance. I think we just want everybody to be safe, you know what I mean, and respectful.
Yeah.
And I think that might be a discussion we might want to have, is whose courtroom we're going to do it in, you know what I mean? And then
right.
Where would the forfeiture go? Because I think it's, you know, that's a concerning point on behalf of you, because you're the ones with the boat and the personnel, and we have to figure out some type of agreement that makes everybody happy.
And that may have been the issue in the past. It was that, kind of, maybe they've gone out in the past to take a look at the complaint that was happening, but kind of when they get there, it was like, well, you know, Mr. Galkey's not here,
yeah,
or the state DNR's not here, we can't do anything. So we have kind of like what you're saying, we just want things to be safe out here, and, you know, it's not taken to another level where we have flammable fire and rescue out here,
right,
you know, with their boat rescue department,
yep,
and whatnot. So, I mean, and that's the way we've handled it, and it'd be nicer with the mutual aid agreement to kind of have some teeth behind it, because not necessarily meaning that we want to hit everybody with a citation.
No, it's just to enforce the rules
right.
that we have to
yeah.
make sure everyone is safe
exactly.
and for the reason behind them.
Is there crossover? I mean, do you have some of the same ordinances, like the no wake and all that? Is that tribal ordinances as well? Are we double dipping, so to speak?
Well, whether they're the same or not, they would... It wouldn't matter, again, because the town ordinances pertain to non-tribal people. Theirs pertain to tribal people. So you still have to have those just because of the nature of things. So, Ralph.
I've been involved with the Crawling Stone Lakes Association since it was formed. And we put out a newsletter. And I think every year since, and this goes back 15 years or something, we give a call to Larry Wawanowitz and just kind of check who the wardens are this year, this summer, whatever. And we've been including that in our newsletter, that if people have a problem on the lake, if people, we feel that something's going on that shouldn't be going on. And we've always felt it was okay to call. And Larry always was okay with that. Now, you know, I see, and the question just was asked, it would be nice if we had common Sloan Awake or whatever the issues are, that both the tribe and the town have similar or the same requirements if we could reach that point. And then there wouldn't have to be any issue. We all go by the same rules, and we really appreciate that you guys are available at least sometimes to help us.
Yeah.
I think it would be appropriate to state up front that if it does reach the point of collecting a forfeiture, that the tribe would be able to collect that.
And I
for their efforts.
I think, you know, that would be the way that I would look at it too. Yeah. I mean, they're the ones doing the work. Like I said, you know, I'm with Chris. We're not in the business of collecting fines and collecting forfeitures. I mean, that's not really our job. Our job is to make sure everybody's safe.
Thought you had a hidden...
No.
A green cap?
How do you think Chris got his leg broken?
Yeah. No. We're not in that business. So, I mean, that would be the one thing that I guess I would like to see in it. That, you know, you're enforcing our ordinances and those... If there are any fines that are issued, I mean, they rightfully would go to you. Now, if technically they have to come through the town to you, I don't know. That's for somebody else to figure out. That's over, not in my wheelhouse, but.
I think this is the discussion we have to have with the council.
Yeah.
And find out where our limitations are and how it has to be put together.
Right. But I can do that. I can ask the town's attorney to draft up a mutual aid agreement of some kind, and I can get that to you, and then, you know, we can look at it as a board. You can take it to the council and see if anybody has any other ideas to tweak it or go on or you know, additions, subtractions, what have you.
Yep.
Is that what we...
Yeah, Jim's got a question.
Oh, Jim?
Yeah. The agenda item is kind of generic, but are you talking strictly marine ordinances or all the ordinances?
At this point, yes, because we're in 'tis the season of marine.
Yeah, I understand.
But when I had talked to Elliot, you know, we do have other snowmobile ordinances and that type of thing, which had been either enforced by the Vilas County in the past or somebody else, which... we should also look at, you know, anything that has to do with, how can I put it, a natural resource law enforcement type, you know, ordinance that they can then, you know, enforce, and we can incorporate those ordinances into the agreement.
So ATVs would fall under that?
Well,
we don't
have them. So.
No, but we have them on the roads.
Well, that again, now... That's a tribal issue. If they're on the roads and they're tribal and they're non-tribal members, then yes, they're in violation of state law. You know, that's Vilas County State Patrol. You know, they're not allowed on the roads. So, you know, you can call the sheriff's department and say somebody's running up and down my road.
Mm-hmm.
But again, then if they're tribal members, the tribe has got their own ATV ordinance, which, you know, they have to abide by. So that's, you know, we got to find out who the person is first. Well, then we'll do that. And as soon as I can get something, I'll give you a call. We'll get it to you. And
yeah, and then we'll put it back on the agenda and we can discuss it. I guess maybe what I would like to do is, instead of just bringing it back, is maybe you and the chairman could have a discussion. You know what I'm saying? And then you might have to have your...
Oh, I'm sure the council will have to look at
so
it.
Why don't we sort of get it cleaned up a little bit? You know what I mean, between your forces, and then bring it back here when we get it all together.
Okay,
that sounds great.
Will do. Thanks for coming, Elliot.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Elliot.
Thank you.
Item number 12: discussion, possible action, ambulance volunteer compensation pay. I After our annual meeting, there were some concerns with the ambulance department making runs and that type of thing. I went to the last ambulance EMS meeting and had a nice talk with all of them, or at least the ones that were there that could make it that night. One issue that came up was the compensation. Currently, they get $35 for a daytime run and $25 for an evening run. I know it seems kind of backwards why you wouldn't get more for an evening run. Daytime runs are harder to get away on, for people to get away for. What they had suggested, and I thought I'd bring it to the board here, is that we go to $45 for a daytime run and $35 for an evening run for the volunteer pay on the ambulance. They seem to think that that would help in response, getting people to respond. You know, it's true that some people, they got to leave their jobs in order to go do it. If they're self-employed, they're, you know, it's money, they're out. If their employer says, geez, you know, I might not be able to pay you for that, or it's difficult, you can't go, at least this reimburses them for some more of the time that they're putting into this. I mean, these people are putting in an awful lot of time.
Matt?
Yes?
Did you say that was per run or per hour?
Per run.
That's pretty inexpensive.
It is.
I mean, they can be out there 3-4 hours.
You potentially could be there for a...
They're giving up a lot of...
They're giving up an awful lot of time, and...
Hold on a second. Tom, can you verify, that's for the run, they also get a timesheet that is calculated at the end of the year also?
How do you mean?
When you put everything together at the end of the year, because if an ambulance shows up and it becomes a big scene, like if we got an accident or something, then it's like an hourly rate kicks in.
Oh, yeah. You got to compensate them for the time it's out there.
Because there's times we could be out there for 5 hours reconstructing an accident or something of that nature.
Or a house fire.
Right, and they're sitting there on...
But this is, this pay that we were talking about, that was just on a per run basis.
Right.
You know, if it's a call, a pickup, and a transport to Howard Young.
Yeah, that can be done usually right now. You know, less than an hour plus paperwork. So,
yeah.
You know, plus that.
Do you think, Tom, do you think it would help if they were paid, if you just took the ambulance department and paid them like quarterly instead of once a year?
That's another thing that I'll be bringing,
okay, sorry.
Bringing up.
I'll let him finish, sorry.
Yes, Roberta.
All right, you mentioned the $35. What is the hourly rate then? For ambulance and fire, what's the hourly rate?
What I've been using, like for meetings and stuff, is $20.
$20 per hour. So.
What about a call?
Well, their call would be that too. Same. Then, correct? If it's over, you know, right. If you're calculating hours.
You could add the 20 beyond.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah,
this is the extensive call.
Yeah, if it's a long call for some reason.
20 an hour then.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
How many people have to go on a call?
You have to have two.
At least two.
You got to have a driver and an EMS. So you have to have at least two people on that call. Now that was the other thing that was brought up at the annual meeting. You know, we can always use more volunteers. So. There's anybody here that wants to volunteer for ambulance service, we're more than happy to take you. We send you to the class, we pay for it, and you get to go for a ride in a big truck once in a while.
How many do we have?
We have how many, Tom's?
14.
14.
And how does that compare over a period of time? I don't mean exactly, but are we trending up, trending down, or...?
Staying right about the same.
Staying right about the same and still making 700 plus runs a year. Yes,
indeed. It seems that it's not just a money issue, though, and it was brought up. I think there's issues, maybe other things we can help with, but morale and lots of stuff like that, that money isn't going to compensate.
That's what I'm going to get to here. The other thing that was brought up is they had asked about, currently we pay the ambulance volunteers once a year. It's right around, right before Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. They had asked if we could pay them twice a year, so every 6 months, which I had talked to Nancy about, and yes, we can. The important part is that all reports and paperwork are in. They get paid based off of the reports that are in on file for the runs that they made. I mean, that's how you prove that you were there and you made that run. So as also under the compensation pay would be the increase in the per run amount, and that we then pay them twice a year, which would be, I would imagine, what, end of June and end of June, and then again between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We try to get it to them before Christmas so it can be used at that time.
I don't have any, I'm sorry, Jim.
Go ahead. I'll
shut up in a minute here. I don't have any problem with increasing the rate. I think that's appropriate. I think that's something that we need to do. I just want to make sure that we don't forget about other issues that have come up. There are, as Dee Dee was saying, morale issues. There are problems within the structure of the ambulance that really, I think, need to be explored, and we need to find ways to make people feel better about being part of this ambulance, and to remember that they are volunteers, and that they're actually donating a lot to the community by being on that ambulance.
And that's part of this, and the next item also addresses that. What they plan to do is they plan to get some banners made stating, you know, volunteers needed for EMS, fire service, Lac de Flambeau. We're going to put one up by the fire station. We're going to put one up here at the town hall. And also possibly even an ad in the newspaper saying, you know, we're looking for volunteers. Try to get more people involved. I think that, you know, we've got a rather large town here. I would think that there might be some retired emergency personnel, firefighters, ambulance, EMS people out there that might want to volunteer and you know, say, okay, ambulance, I can go on that, you know, the first and third Tuesday of the month. I'll volunteer for that day. Hey, if you get another day covered with just a couple people, that's a day that our normal volunteers don't need to. And just, you know, try to boost that morale somewhat. But and the next item is more towards the morale of things.
I think Jim.
Jim?
I think it was brought up before, but is there an on-call assignment?
Yes.
Where they get paid a flat rate just for being able to respond?
Yeah, they've got an on-call rate that they get paid, right, Tom?
Yeah, every weekend.
On the weekends.
Is that a number of people, six or four or two? Or?
He's got it scheduled.
Whatever the crew is, most of the crew's got three people on them. And the weekends go from Friday night to Monday morning, and they're paid on call for the whole time.
And what is it?
Is that an hourly rate, or is that a flat rate for
what's
on-call?
The rate on that, Tom?
$125 a weekend.
Oh, for 3 days.
Thank you.
3 days.
But part of that responsibility is you got to stay in town. You know what I mean? That,
yeah.
You don't go to Menards or.
You got to do the calls.
You got to be here. So it is a restriction.
Right.
Bill?
I had a couple questions there. You're talking about semi-annually making the payments to them. I don't know how this is all handled. But they might look more favorably if it could be quarterly, or I hate to say this, monthly.
Well, yeah, a lot of it is the work involved to do the payment. I think a lot of the volunteers, you know, they were more concerned with just the twice a year. They use this pay that they make for special occasions such as Christmas. That was one of the reasons why we always paid once a year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, because everybody, you know, who's on the fire and ambulance department then got a check right before Christmas, and they'd use it for those purposes. I really don't think these people are, they're not in it for the money, they're in it for the volunteering. They enjoy what they do. The pay is just, it's something to cover their own personal expenses.
Did they ask to go to semi-annually then, or annually, or?
They asked for semi-annually.
They did. And then the other question was, you were talking about the on-call. Is that just on the weekend that
yes.
they're on-call?
Yes, that's what he said.
So is that when we only have ambulance runs?
No. We have them during the week. It's the weekends sometimes tend to get a little busier.
Sorry, you can't have a heart attack.
Well, that's what I was going to wonder.
Yeah, but you have designations for every day of the week, so every nighttime, is it
yeah,
after 6?
We have designated people
right,
for
6 to 6 every night there's a crew on.
Yeah. But it's not, I don't think they compensate for that, so but there's a team designated for every
but
day
they're, of the week. They're scheduled for those times, you know, okay, these three people are for this Monday night, okay. These three are for, you know, Tuesday night, these three are for Wednesday. So they know, you know, there's a schedule set for it.
Are they required to be, when you say at that designated time, are they required to be available here, not at Menards?
Yeah, available or have somebody else that can cover for them.
Okay.
Jim? Right.
Do these added costs go into the billing process, or is it part of the town coffers? Get the per-call or the on-call additions?
That's in the budget.
Oh.
If they have all these crews, which I don't doubt they do, why is the, I don't know the term for it, but they only show up for a certain percentage of the time. Why
it's,
is that?
A lot of it, Tom, isn't it the daytime calls?
Every person on that crew works daytime.
Yep. See, and that's,
and their bosses, is there anything we can do about that, like encourage employers to be more cooperative?
Yeah, and the tribe does allow members of the EMS service to leave their jobs. Some of them have a hard time leaving their job at that certain point. You know, the call comes in, they're in the middle of a meeting, they're in the middle of something that's important with their job, they can't go. And so that's where we miss calls. And we're trying to get away from that.
Yeah, Matt, the understanding I have is that the issue we're talking about is not unique to Lac La Flambeau.
No.
That it's statewide and nationwide, particularly in the rural areas. So part of the question is this, are we aware of any areas away from Lac La Flambeau that have been very successful in addressing this issue, or is it just negative everywhere?
I don't know offhand of any place where they don't have the issue or the problem. You know, it's the same way anytime that you're dealing with volunteers. The volunteer is exactly that. They have other things that they do. When the call comes in, they volunteer. You can call them for help. But I'm not aware of any place that has found the golden hammer to fix it.
I guess what I'm driving at is some way of looking at this whole thing out of the box, rather than looking at it from inside the box, which is what most of us tend to do when an issue like this comes up. Looking at it from a perspective that no one has ever looked at it before. And I don't have an answer to what I'm babbling about now, but there's got to be something here that if you get a number of people together and turn them loose, who knows what they might come up with to address the issue.
That's one of the reasons why I'm attending the ambulance meetings.
I think
and asking the question, what can we do?
I think one thing you'll find is your exemplary EMT and firefighter, they're not people that sit around all day. Those are people that get up in the morning and do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And usually they're successful at what they do. The people that don't really succeed in life, those aren't the people that are going to show up or be part of your program.
No, they don't even volunteer.
So sometimes you rely maybe on, and we've lost a lot of our I would call them the mature crowd, because they stepped out. And they were some of our best saviors, you know, because they knew where everything was, they knew how everything worked, and everything was just a lot more easier on a scene when we had a crisis. So we're going through a transformation right now where great, everything sounds really good when they sign up. All of a sudden, they go to school, get them to pass school, hopefully, and then all of a sudden, when the actual commitment comes to be part of it, sometimes that's where the problem arises. I will say that I thought about becoming an EMT, but I'm just saying is I don't know where I would come up with the extra time for it because it is so rigorous. It is just an ongoing program, and then it takes an awful lot away. If you're a family person or have children, there's a lot of schooling, there's a lot of things that go on, and not everybody is ready to commit to that. Maybe he would, but the wife wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? And then it disrupts your whole household. So it's a little bit more than just coming up with something, one magical thing. Compensation has been tried to be used before, and we could entertain that. Maybe insurance for them, that might work. But I think it's a little bit bigger than a black to flannel issue. I believe it's a federal issue. I believe that I don't care what state you go to, if they use the same dynamics to put these programs together and they're mandated, I think every community in the United States that has a volunteer program, they're having the same problems today with the generation that we're
I would love to go to a community meeting someplace else and have them tell me, I wish our department was like the one who wants planning. You know, those folks got it right. And to wait for the feds or the state to do something, might be a while.
It's probably never going to happen. Yeah. But I'm just saying it's a bigger problem than Wisconsin or lack of Lambeau.
Don't stone me, but has anyone ever talked about making it paid? Having a professional fire department and paid.
That idea has been kicking around for 15 years.
But at that time, it wouldn't be Lac de Flambeau, that would be a districting now.
Yeah.
And you'd have to combine way more than just Lac de Flambeau. So that would be a joint effort between multiple communities.
But is that a possibility for fixing all of these small towns if we got together?
It might be.
And it's possible to do a hybrid system where you have some full-time paid staff and some volunteer staff as well.
That's been talked about.
How many crews?
There was some pushback from that from people who are volunteers who then say, okay, well, that person's getting paid full-time for this job, and now you want me to volunteer? No, I don't want anything to do with that. So, you know, you're really walking a fence here.
Yeah.
And so, the ideas come out about a district-wide, you know, fire and ambulance department. Would that involve, you know, Lac de Flambeau, Boulder Junction, Mantua Waters, Minocqua, Arbor, Vida, Woodruff, you know, Hazelhurst all around and satellites out? I don't know. You know, Oneida County, towns there don't have an ambulance service. They got Oneida County ambulance, but then, you know, that's paid for through Oneida County and they run it. So there's different systems there. Vilas County is still running under the volunteer system. You look at a lot of these towns, Plum Lake, you know, they don't have ambulances. They contract with Howard Young. They're trying to get their own ambulances. It's difficult, but, you know, I'm sure that we've got a lot of dedicated people on our EMS service, and they want to get a system working that makes everybody happy and we're able to make the runs. That's the important part.
I'm not sure that it would necessarily kill the volunteer program to have paid staff. I'm not advocating for this. I'm just saying it's a possibility at this point. You know, if you look around, I mean, hospitals are full of highly paid people, and yet they attract volunteers. And I think that could be done with an ambulance or a fire department as well. It's all in how you approach the problem, I think. I'm someone who has the training to be an EMT, but I no longer have the physical ability. I was an EMT on an ambulance for a few years, right before I went to law school, as a matter of fact. If I got down to do CPR now, you'd have to have two people to lift me back up.
Well, Tom, we were talking about that. You don't have to get down anymore, do you?
Well, we got machines that do it.
So, there you go. He has sign-up sheets.
I talked myself into a corner.
Ralph?
Yeah, he did.
Ralph?
I have several comments in a positive way. I just I live 3.5 miles away from the where the ambulances are, and I've always considered that a major advantage. Isn't that marvelous how close I am? So now this winter, you may remember, I had a neighbor who I think is 94, and he walks about 100 feet to his mailbox, and in the middle of winter, he went out there, slept on the ice, and laid on the ground for 45 minutes. Then Gary Kopp comes home for lunch, fortunately, and he's another neighbor, and sees him there, so they call 911. He was on the ground for another 45 minutes before the ambulance arrived, which I think came from Woodruff. I don't know the whole story on that.
Oneida County.
Yeah, okay. Whatever we can do, the only reason I mention that, whatever we can do to help improve that, boy, I think everybody will strongly support.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So.
Is the ambulance chief a separate position?
Yeah.
Paid position.
Right. Currently, Tom right now is our fire and ambulance chief.
Both.
We have had it in the past where there was an ambulance chief and a fire chief, and currently we have the combined fire and ambulance chief.
Okay, that's why I asked. I was reading a document I was given from 1997, the first one evidently that you had. That has them as separate separate positions. Are there officers like there were at one point, or has that gone to the wayside?
No, there's officers.
Treasurer, supply, maintenance, and
you have all those people. Okay. So yeah, they have all those officers. The same with the fire department. They have the chief, the assistant chief, the lieutenants,
and they meet monthly or.
Yep.
Are those
meetings? Ambulance department, you meet monthly, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Fire too, or is it together?
No, they're separate. Yeah. Fire meets monthly too, don't they? Yeah. So.
Monthly.
But it's also intertwined, just remember that it always used to be firefighter.
So you meet together,
first.
Really, right?
Firefighter first and then ambulance, but we've changed that rule. So yeah, usually if you were on the ambulance a year back, you were a firefighter before you were on the ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay. Are those public meetings or are those?
Oh, sure.
Okay, are they posted or how do we know when they are?
Join the fire department and ambulance department. They're going to let you know.
I'm going in Bob's direction then. seriously.
They're membership meetings. I don't know as if they're, you know, if you're getting at the open meetings law, I don't, they're volunteer members. I don't know as if those fall under the open meetings law, but I would imagine if you want to go to one of their meetings and sit and listen, you're more than welcome to.
We would have situations that you would not be able to be there.
There are some things under HIPAA that you wouldn't be able to be there for, but you know, it's personal information.
Especially like a debriefing or some issue that was a major catastrophe that would never be able to be shared with you.
Right.
What we talk about in that room.
Right.
Okay.
Does the state set requirements or standards for municipal volunteer ambulance and fire departments in order to get funding from the state? So what requirements has the state put on Flamble? The number of ambulances you
same
have to have?
It's the same as everybody else. No, we have two ambulances because we choose to have two. We can use them. Some towns don't have any, but they have to hire service then. You're required under state statute to provide EMS and fire.
So then Nancy has to send reports in at the end of the year of all that to get funding?
Or? Tom does.
Okay.
Yep. So anyway, I think, I guess right now what we, you know, what I'd like to see is a raise in their per run amounts. And then, what was the other?
Semi-annual.
Oh, and the semi-annual pay.
Right.
I'd move that we take those steps that we do both of those.
I'll second that motion.
Motion been made and seconded to increase the ambulance per run pay to 35 and 45 and also do semi-annual payments. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Item number 13, discussion possible action, fire department EMT workwear. Getting to our morale. An another item that came up was that they would like to have some type of wear clothing, be it t-shirts, jackets, high-vis jackets, that type of thing that the EMS, and in this case, you know, the volunteer, the fire department, also that the town provide them with this workwear. More of a morale thing. You're able to wear something proudly that says, you know, Lac de Flambeau Volunteer Fire Department, Lac de Flambeau Volunteer EMS. Also with the cold weather jackets and or high-vis jackets for when they're on a scene. We've got a lot of older vests, older jackets over there, dirty, torn, worn. They get worn often. So what I'd like to propose is that we as a board allow the volunteers, the fire and ambulance departments themselves, to go out, pick some workwear that they would like, both for functional purposes and also for pride purposes, so that they can, you know, wear that on scene, even if they wear it around town. I mean, if they're walking through the grocery store and they want to wear their Lac de Flambeau EMS or firefighter jacket or shirt, I would be tickled.
I'm not getting involved in this conversation.
Are they restricted from wearing the stuff now?
No, no, they wear it now. It's getting old. It's, you know, we haven't had any new or updated things in quite some time. And I'd like to see them, you know, in a uniform type dress that, you know, they can be proud of.
I think what he's referring to is we've got a reporter here right now who's Boulder Junction Fire Department, and he's proud to wear his hat.
He's wearing his cap. There's Boulder Junction firefighters on it.
I think it's very important. It is a matter of pride, and I say buy them whatever they need and more. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is.
Eric wears his hat here every meeting.
Deputies do the same. I mean, anybody that belongs to a group.
It's. I think it's real important to them.
I would move that we ask the ambulance people to put together a sort of a wish list and something they can put a price tag on, so we can have something to vote on here.
Do you want to include firefighters in there also?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to leave them out.
I'll second that, being that Chris is...
Why do you have to put a price tag on it?
Well, so we have some idea what we're spending.
So we know what we're
doing. We're going to get them, you know, I guess if you want, you can put there into the motion that we will be purchasing this, but we want to see some type of...
Right.
Some type of tag. Jim?
There's going to be uniformity, conformity, and safety requirements,
exactly.
Right, that they have to pick from.
Yeah.
I want to explain something here as... Like, we have a certain, it's like a rule, I don't know if it's not a law, but if you're a volunteer and you're on a fire department or an ambulance department, you can't just let like somebody else in your family wear that, because that would signify that you're, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're interpreting that you're something that you're not.
Right.
We've been pretty strict about that, that you shouldn't allow for, say, a spouse or whatever to wear your clothing if it signifies that you're on that fire department.
That could be dangerous.
Correct.
Right. Real dangerous. Yes.
I'm assuming fire department has their turnout gear,
yeah.
And they don't need, that's okay. You're talking about something they can wear as they're
apparel.
Out there social.
Yeah, that or the, you know, high
a meeting or
yeah, meeting high vis jackets for on scene.
T-shirts.
That stuff is really important.
Because I know the fire department has their
could
turnout.
Sell t-shirts.
Yeah.
Their turnout gear.
No, I because you know if you sell them.
Oh, then you get everybody.
You got them all over the place. That person is wearing
true,
that shirt because they're a member
they've
of it.
They've completed the training.
They're a
That's
member
right.
of it, and they're proud that they are.
That's right.
You could do something like an I support.
Yeah.
T-shirts. I support the Lac de Flambeau.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know time-wise, this is impossible, but I thought it would be nice if, you know, this could be done and then that could be featured in the 4th of July parade, you know.
See how fast they can get going.
You think, possibly you could get, I mean, I just think that would be, you know. Right, I don't know, that's a pretty short turnaround.
Maybe t-shirts, but.
Yeah.
We'll leave that up to the membership to see. There are quite a few people, outfits, businesses that do that type of work in the area, so. All right, well, there's a motion to have the EMS Fire Department get together their list of what they would want and at least a budget-type number to go by. I'll second that. Motion's been made and seconded to authorize the EMS Fire Department to put together a list of workwear things, items that they would like to pursue and then get us some type of budget for that. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Matt, can I have one follow-up question?
Yes.
How does this relate to others who work on or volunteer on behalf of the town, like the road crew? Is there something that ought to be done in that respect as well, or?
This is kind of away from the agenda. Road crew, we provide them with the work.
He's got his lovely outfit there.
Item number 14, discussion approval bartender's license applications for Jean Tomes, Marlene Bruch, Barbara Kolath, John Edwards, Christopher Fuller.
Yes, I'm the all, I'm marked okay. I'd make a motion for approval.
No, second. Motion been made and seconded to approve the bartender's license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried. We need a motion to adjourn at 2:01.
So moved.
Second. Motion been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion carried.
Now we're meeting.
Thank you.
Ooh, that was a long one, guys.